Today, I'm joined by Dr. Alice Green, the founder and executive director of the Center for Law and Justice. And I'm also joined by Paul Grandal, director of the New York State Writers Institute at the University of Albany. We're here to discuss the Time for Reckoning Symposium, Confronting Systemic Racism, Seeking Justice, and Reimagining Society. Thank you both for joining us today on the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you.
Can you tell us about the Time for Reckoning, this online symposium that has events throughout the month of October?
I'll let Alice start because it started with a small idea, right, Alice? And then it got
right. We've been focusing on the issue of systemic racism and inequity in our law enforcement and policing system. But the last couple of years, we've been focusing even more on these issues, especially because of what's been happening nationwide. For instance, the killing of George Floyd and the community's reaction to that, actually the whole world's reaction to it. But we started out by trying to get our government officials to talk about these issues. And we issued a couple of reports that presented some of the thoughts and ideas of our community in Albany about how people felt about policing and also racism. So everybody's, you know, very aware of how they've been treated by police departments. So we started with that and tried to get a conversation going. The officials didn't respond to that report because it probably wasn't too favorable. But at any rate, we've been having a dialogue on the internet for, about 6 months now on these issues. And our idea was to end up with a panel discussion with government officials about these issues around policing and systemic racism. So that's how it sort of got started. And then Paul and the Writers Institute saw what we were doing, and we've been working as partners to develop. And so that's sort of where we're at, and Paul might want to jump in here.
We were able to partner with Alice and then to kind of expand. We've got WMHT, the Times Union, we've got the Justice Center of Rensselaer County, and now we've got Schenectady involved. So we really see these issues of systemic racism, you know, cutting across geographic lines, certainly throughout the capital region. So we wanted to expand. Alice's group is really focused on Albany in particular, and we wanted to expand to Troy and Schenectady and bring in some of these writers who have, particularly Robin DiAngelo, White Fragility, one of the best-selling books in the country on these issues. And we also have interviews coming up with people who have written about, who have studied and have worked in the area fighting for racial equality for many years. So, but the community partners is really important. You know, we're starting to reach people. I think it's partly uncomfortable, obviously. You know, the whole notion of white privilege and white supremacy is not the easiest thing for white people to talk about, to accept. And then, you know, policing, certainly. That's been Alice's focus for a long time, the criminal justice system. And so we're looking at a lot of related issues. I mean, none of these things exist in a vacuum. People who are oppressed, 400 years of oppression of Black people in this country, you know, it's more than just policing. So this has a kind of a broader look at systemic racism in general. Yeah.
It does, but one of the things that happened that really got us moving on this issue is that the Governor Cuomo issued an executive order requiring all jurisdictions in New York State to look at their police departments, figure out how they could reform them and reinvent the department. So many of them have collaboratives that are now established and talking about this issue. And we believe that this our program in terms of what we're doing in the website and the symposium will also help that process along, because people are now looking at it and talking about the issues that the city the cities have to really address. So we're sort of a resource for communities that are now struggling with redesigning their police departments.
Great. And just a little bit of a follow-up for that. In looking into this, I mean, it puts a weight on organizations like you all to reimagine and help communities reimagine their policing. I wonder if you've come across models around the country that you point to as examples of directions some of our cities could go in.
Well, one of the best ones that I'm aware of is Camden, New Jersey. They also took a leadership here. I don't think they had the same kind of mandate, but they realized that they had to do something to change their department. So they've been doing a lot of the stuff that the governor's mandate, demands. So what we're doing is we're focusing on several things. One is we want police departments and government officials to acknowledge the harm, first of all, that, systemic racism has caused not only African-Americans, but other people, the whole entire community. And we also want government officials to think about how they can foster trust in the community. That's one of the big issues for us. We've been dealing with the police department for so long and trying to develop a stronger working relationship with our police department and city officials. So that's a major thing that we're going to be expecting from these government officials. The other thing is, I think officials have to look at how they might work with the community to make the kinds of reforms that I think all of us are hoping for through that mandate. We want transparency, and transparency is very important if we really truly want to hold the police department accountable.
One of our other partners is Amnesty International USA, which is really important because they give us kind of a national outlook. And we have an interview coming up with one of the leading Amnesty International people involved in. They have a real-time map of police brutality across the United States. And you just look at that map, dozens of cities, not every state, but almost every state across the country has had examples, clear examples. I mean, what started Alice's group, I was just getting to Albany and becoming a reporter at the Times Union, the killing of Jesse Davis. And there's many more instances in Albany of unarmed Black men shot, either injured and or killed by police. Then, and you realize that this is going on all over the country. So Amnesty International has great resources, great reach. And we like their model where they, share the information, make sure it's accurate, and then they call to action for people, which is what we're starting to do too. Start a demonstration, write to your congressional leaders or your city leaders. So our website, you'll see it's timeforreckoning.org. There's a lot of resources. There's a lot of information, and there's opportunities for you to take the next step. I think Ibram X. Kendi, who was also a professor at the University of Albany several years ago, his book, How to Be an Anti-Racist, that's what we want to keep bringing out, that it's an active, it's an active, it's not passive. You have to learn. I'm white, Alice is Black. We've known each other for 40 years. We understand the issue. We both have very different life experiences, but to sort of first be aware, be empathetic, and then try to take an active role to change it. And that's what we're trying to do with a lot of really good community partners.
We do have a grant from the McKee Foundation, which allows us to reach out and try to pull more young people in so that they can show us what they, talk to us about what their feelings are and what their hopes are. And they can do it through a number of different ways, like poetry, music, whatever it happens to be. So we're really excited about that. And the resource part is extremely important. We want to make sure that parents and young people are able to talk about this issue, racism as an issue, because we get so many calls from parents saying, how do I talk to my child about what happened with George Floyd? And what does this mean for my child, you know, because of they happen to be of color. So there's just so much in this symposium. I think that's going to interest probably everybody in our community. And so we're trying to reach out and make sure that they know how to get a hold of us